Well, let's begin with one simple verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. Well, how are you doing so far this week? A lot of gratitude, a lot of giving thanks. How did you do today? Was today a day of thanksgiving? Did you say thank you to God a lot all throughout the day? Maybe, maybe not. Notice very carefully that this verse says give thanks. I think that's very important. Not just feel grateful, but give thanks. In other words, the command here is to express gratitude. In Luke 17, we won't go through it, but 10 lepers come before Jesus and they ask for cleansing. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And the text says, as they went, they were cleansed. Think about it. 10 lepers, debilitating, isolating disease, without a cure, as they're walking away from Jesus, they look at their fingers, they find that they had been restored, maybe their nose was rubbed off, they find that they're whole, that they're clean, that they have indeed been healed. How many do you think felt gratitude? How many do you think said in their heart, this is wonderful, this is great? How many out of the 10 you think felt gratitude? All of them, all 10. How many did a 180, went back to Jesus, and said, hey, I just want to say thank you and want to praise you for healing me of this disease? How many went back? Yeah. One. Did Jesus say, well, that's okay, I know all of them felt gratitude? No, He said, where are the other 9? Terrible sin of ingratitude. Jesus was not happy. So I want to make it very clear that the command is to give thanks. That means to express thanks. That means to verbalize. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. This morning I want to talk about the power of gratitude. And as I've been thinking about this for years now, I'm convinced that there is great power, transforming power, in just being grateful and expressing gratitude. And let me just give you a few examples this evening. We could give you many more, but just to show you that there's great power in gratitude. Number one, gratitude transforms indifference into affection. Gratitude transforms indifference into affection. In Philippians 1:8, Paul says of the Christians at Philippi, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It's a remarkable verse from many angles. First of all, he says, God can testify, says Paul, with God is my witness, how I long for all of you. And it's with the affection of Christ Jesus. It's not even his own affection. It's the affection of Christ Jesus. It's like he's saying, there is such great affection in me. It's not even my own affection. Perhaps you've had that experience from time to time. You just find yourself just being overwhelmed with affection for another person. It's kind of like an out-of-body experience. You're like, where is this affection coming from? And the answer could be, it's coming from the Holy Spirit working within you. It's not even your own affection. That's why we love people sometimes. It's God's love coming through us, or why we're broken over what people are going through. It's God's love coming through us. I think that's part of what he's saying. But also consider this, where did that love come from? Where did the affection come from? And this is where I think it came from. I think it came from the previous verses where Paul thanks them for their financial partnership in the ministry. And we know from other books of the Bible that this church solely supported Paul early on in his ministry. He says, none of the other churches supported me except you and you only. And he says, I thank God for your partnership in the ministry. I thank God for your generosity in supporting me. And that thank you, I believe, results in his affection for the Thessalonians, or excuse me, the Philippians. How can you not feel affection for someone when you thank them for the difference that they have made in your life? So as we thank our spouses and our children and our friends, partners in the ministry for what they mean for us and what they've done for us, this is the challenge. See if that will not transform into affection. And by the way, let me say this is not easy. It takes conscious decision. I think this is what comes easy. I think what comes easy is seeing the negative in people and just saying, wow, she's got that issue, doesn't she? Wow, he always struggles with that. That comes easy. That comes naturally. You see that at places of work when people talk about fellow workers. You know what doesn't come easy or naturally? You know, I really appreciate that she has this gift. I really appreciate that he's just willing to sacrifice all. That doesn't come easy. You have to look for that in other people. You know, sometimes we'll see the weaknesses in people and, you know, other people will talk, yeah, boy, he really has that weakness. And someone will say, yeah, I noticed that too. Like, we congratulate ourselves. Yeah, we both noticed that. Aren't we something? But it'd be more impressive if we could notice, yeah, he's got that weakness, but boy, do you see the potential there, right? That is going to sprout. Can you see that positive? That does not come naturally. We have to work at that. But when we work at that, see if it doesn't change our attitude towards people. This is another good one. Gratitude transforms pride into humility. When we experience great success, whether it's in sports or business or ministry or academics, whatever it is, we are prone to have inflated egos, right? And so that man is the only animal where you pat him on the back and it causes his head to swell, you know? The answer is not, oh, it was really nothing. You know what, that's just false humility. That's just another way of saying, it really was a big deal, wasn't it? But I can't say it was a big deal because I would look like an egomaniac. The answer is gratitude. Just say thank you. And if you have to, just turn that over to the Lord. Just say, Lord, thank you for blessing me in this area. Thank you for what you have done in my life. This all comes from you. And for us Christians, it's easy because we have someone to thank for everything that we have. You know, if you think about it, Thanksgiving is a terrible holiday for atheists. Because who do they thank? Seriously, they have no one to thank. Have you read some of them? Carl Sagan, another atheist? They say you thank yourself. I mean, if you really do believe that the universe is here by accident because of evolution, who do you think? The answer is no one. No one. And some atheists even say you should thank yourself. Yes, they'll admit you should thank other people for what they've done in your life and what they mean to you. But who do you thank for the sunrise? Who do you thank for the mountains? Who do you thank for the gifts that you have within you? Where does gratitude for that go? It goes to God. Unless you're an atheist, you really have nothing to do. And I think atheists really are very uncomfortable with Thanksgiving. You know, you sit down at a table and it's just caving in because of all the food that's on there that they're about to enjoy, and it's really quite a dilemma before you eat. What do you do? Who do you give thanks to? Probably just the person who made it. But just try and be thankful and arrogant at the same time. Pretty difficult. Gratitude transforms anxiety into peace. How can anxious people experience peace? And of course, we know that prayer is an answer. And I hope many of you have memorized this passage. It really is a good passage because we are an anxious people. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here's the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what do you do when you're anxious? You turn to God. You pour out your heart to Him. But you do that with thanksgiving. I think that's so important. Because anxiety is like blinders on a racehorse. You know, when you're going through something, a difficult time, all you can see is that problem. It's right before you. You can't do anything else. But what does Thanksgiving do? Thanksgiving removes the blinders. And again, this doesn't come natural. You have to be very intentional about this. You say, Lord, this financial situation is hard. I don't know the way out. But I know that you promised a little later in Philippians 4 that you will meet all my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So I thank you that somehow, in some way, you're going to provide for us. I know this report by the doctor is terrible. But I thank you that you're going to get me through it somehow, some way. I thank you that your presence is going to be here. I thank you that your spirit is going to be here. I thank you that even if worst case scenario I die, I thank you that I know Jesus Christ. I thank you that I know where I'm going. I thank you that I'm not going to be alone. And you have to give thanks. Pray with thanksgiving. And again, you have to be very intentional. And find that as you do that, see if it doesn't make a difference with anxiety. Gratitude transforms unbelief into faith. What is gratitude? By the way, it is a Christian virtue. Gratitude is a response to God's grace in the past. God is gracious, and you say, thank you. What is faith? Faith is a response to God's grace in the future. Faith looks ahead and it says, God will be faithful. And I like what John Piper, he says, gratitude for past grace fuels our faith in future grace. So when you look back and you say, Lord, thank you, you've been faithful here, 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 and here. Now I'm going through this ordeal. Wait a second, if God's been faithful for 50 years now, in my case, well, I'm sure he's going to be faithful for the next week at least. Well, he hasn't let me down yet. And I really do like to say to people jokingly sometimes, depending on what they're going through, you will not be the first person in history that God lets down. God has been faithful your whole life, has he not? Well, then he will continue to be faithful. And gratitude just reminds yourself, God has been faithful. He will continue to be faithful. And then a final one, gratitude transforms practical deism into personal theism. You say, okay, now you're getting the big theological guns out. Okay, what is deism? Deism is that belief that God just wound up the universe like a clock and then he just stepped back and he said, wow, let's see how this turns out. And he's not involved in his creation personally. He's just a distant deity just watching to see how it's going to turn out. Personal theism means that God is personally involved in our lives, but we forget that. We forget that. How often, if we could just be honest here, how often do we forget that God is sovereign and he's involved in every single aspect of our life, and we think, I'm on my own. Oh man, I'm on my own. How often do we forget that God is with us? Too often, if we're honest. But if we would thank God for what he's doing in our life, turn to him in prayer, we would be reminded that he's involved in every single aspect of our lives. And that gratitude would remind us, God is involved here. God is blessing here. God is working in my life. Well, can I leave you with some homework? I know it's a holiday. Homework on a holiday. I don't usually give you homework. But let me give you two homework assignments. Maybe you'll do one of them, maybe two of them. If you do that, if you do your homework, I would love for you to bring it to me. Here's my challenge to you. I'll just leave it as a challenge. Come up with your own gratitude transforms blank into blank. Come up with your own. Because I think there could be an endless list. Gratitude transforms greed into contentment. Why are we so greedy? Why do we want our neighbor's house or our neighbor's car? Well, because we're not content with what we have. And why aren't we content with what we have? Because we're not pouring out our hearts and saying, Lord, thank you for this house. This is a wonderful house. oh, thank you that I have a car. There's some people that don't have a car. There's some people that are praying for cars. There's some people that are broken down on the side of the road. Thank you that I have a car. And just think, if we would thank God for all that we have, maybe that gratitude would drown out greed. Okay, well, I did that one for you, so I guess that's actually six. So here's what I want you to do. Gratitude transforms blank into blank. And let me know how you filled in those blanks. And then here's your other homework assignment. Right back to where we began. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is my challenge for you tonight, tomorrow. Thank God at least 20 times tonight. Ooh. Thank you for Brian, his faithfulness to the church. All these, there's one. There's 20 people in here if you just go right down the rows. And by the way, that would be a good exercise. You could get it done before you leave here. Tomorrow, look for 20 times to thank God. Different things to thank Him for. Personal blessings, material blessings, spiritual blessings, hidden blessings. Hidden blessings are those blessings that really were trials, but you see that God used them for good in your life. See if it doesn't make a difference. I think it does. And thank God in all circumstances. All circumstances. You say, well, what if I walk out of church tonight and I'm robbed? Well, thank God. You say, well, how can I thank God in that? Well, I'll give you one example. The Puritan Matthew Henry, he was robbed on one occasion and he responded by giving thanks. He said, Lord, thank you that I was the one who was robbed and not the one who was doing the robbing. And thank you that while they took my money, they didn't take very much because I didn't have much. And thank you that while they took my money, they didn't take my life. Lord, thank you. If I remember the story correctly from The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom was in a concentration camp during World War II with her sister Betsy, and they were overrun by fleas. I mean, it was just irritating. We probably never experienced anything like it. I mean, the Egyptians did in Egypt, it's one of the 10 plagues, just fleas everywhere. And Corrie said to her sister, how should we respond to this? And she said, if I remember correctly, I might be wrong, open up the Bible. Well, here's our reading for today. Give thanks in all circumstances. We're to thank God. Corrie said, for the fleas? How can we thank God for the fleas? Well, that's what it says. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we're going to do. Corrie says she couldn't do it, but her sister could do it. They found out later that they were freely able to have Bible studies in the barracks because none of the guards were coming in bothering them because of the fleas. God used it to enable their Bible study to go forth. So give thanks in all circumstances, and it may just change the whole way you look at life and what God is doing. Let's pray together. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our ingratitude. It really is a terrible sin. And Father, we want to thank you for all our many blessings. We're here tonight because we don't want to forget to thank you. Every good and perfect gift, James tells us, is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Father, every good gift we have is from you, so we should say thank you. Father, I want to pray that you will work within us so that we will become a people of gratitude, so that we will be known as a grateful people. It'd be great if people would come to Fox Lake Community Church and they would look at us and they would just say, they're always saying thank you. They're always saying thank you. They seem to be so grateful. Father, I really do pray that that could be true of us. So, Father, help us by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us to be a grateful people. Amen.